But what we want to get out of this lesson is just to understand that when something is strange, it is not something for us to be okay with. Because over and over we are being bombarded with the concept that something is strange, that it is odd, that it is foreign. It's just an indication of a progressive thinking. It's just a different time. What we want to understand is that when the Bible speaks of something being strange and being strange to God, then it is something we need to be weary of. It is something that we need to, in a sense, run from, because God has an expectation that we stick to his truth. So, if we are to define strange, right, we did mention this morning that the concept of strange is that it is foreign, it is odd, it is alien. All right, and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9. It says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have occupied therein." And the thought we want to get from this verse is that we should not be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And so the idea here is that if a doctrine is different, if a doctrine is strange, then we should not be drawn to it. We need to establish that it being strange, it being different, then it is away. It's actually carried away from what God has set out for us. All right, so in fact, it's almost like a warning, all right? You know, it talks about strange doctrine. We are warned against things that are alien, things that are odd, things that are foreign. And we don't have to stretch our minds very far to realize that this happens from time to time. In fact, we are warned, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, or is it 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, that in the latter days, or latter times, right, man will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. So we should not be shocked into the concept that something strange is being presented to us. So from the very outset of Christianity, we are warned to expect this type of deviation from the truth. And, you know, in the latter times, you know, which would speak to now, but if you think about it, even in the days of the apostles, people started to divert from the truth. Even Paul would have seen in such early years of the church starting that people were drifting away from the truth. So that sort of was the heart of our lesson this morning, where we were looking at just one congregation that Paul wrote to, and we could see so many instances where there was a digression from the truth, from doctrine, from teachings, by just the activities. So What we have seen then is that once we see something foreign, alien, then our antennas should go up. All right? And we are going to be bombarded in the years to come with many strange things. I mean, we have seen many strange things already, but increasingly people are going to come up with strange things, some things I would never imagine that they would ask of the church to be involved in will come, if not for all of us to see. Some of us will see some of these strange things creeping in. All right? And the creeping in of false teaching is not something new to Christianity. All right? Paul in his writings crept in unawares. Again, that speaks to teaching that persons will bring in. So something that is foreign, it might be that some of us, some more than others, are inclined towards things that are new, things that are foreign, things that are, strange to us. All right. Now, bear in mind that it is not all that something is foreign to us. All right. We always have to put the balance on things. That something is foreign to us does not necessarily mean that it is a strange thing to God. All right. I want to make sure that we appreciate this, because sometimes in our ignorance, sometimes because of where we happen to have joined the church, being added to the church, what we have seen as practice, we come in and we see the bad examples of others, or the church has not, that the local congregation has not grown to a point, then it may appear strange to us. Right? Let's use the deacons and elders being in the congregation. That may seem very strange to us because of where we are in our development as a congregation at Patrick Gardens, because we have not, over the years, come to the point where we have qualified men, to be deacons and elders. And so if there should be a situation where somehow you are taken out of the picture and then you come back 10 years' time and you are now seeing a congregation organized with elders and deacons, it may seem strange to you. But that would not have been strange from God's perspective. So we want to put that balance, all right? But when we speak now of something being strange, odd, and alien to God, then that is a distinction or a difference that we should be careful that we are now not inclined towards newness. We are not inclined towards something different that just excites us. All right, we'll bring that up again in a little while. So what we are seeing then is that be watchful, be mindful, be warned of how we engage with strange doctrines. All right, and before I move on from this, there are persons who will tell us that doctrine does not matter. But here, Inspiration is saying that there are some doctrines that are strange doctrines. God does not have anything to do with this. It is strange to the Almighty God. All right, another idea coming out of the word strange, and I still have not done the official definition. Let me use the board here. I was just checking on the I before E. All right. Okay, So if it is strange or alien, all right, if it is odd, alien, foreign, then it's strange. Another idea when we look closely at the word strange is that it belongs to another. This sort of. All right, now, I was going to read, brother. All right, Acts chapter 7, verse 6. Acts chapter 7 and verse 6, and Hebrews 11, 9. All right, let me just mark that. All right, the brother Mitchell say he's literate. All right, all right. Acts chapter 7, verse 6, read for me.
Them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years.
Okay, so here it is, all right. God speak in this wise that you should sojourn into a strange land, all right. The idea here that we get from the word strange is that it does not belong to you, it belongs to another, all right. We also see this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, where it highlights. Read for me. That's 11. That's 11:9. 11:9, sorry.
By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob.
Okay, so here again, the word here, strange, all right, strange land, another land. The idea is that it belongs to another, all right? Now, this becomes significant when we are talking about strange as it relates to God. So, if we are serving God, if we are adopting or we are engaging in a doctrine that is strange as far as God is concerned, then it does not belong to God. Getting the picture? So it belongs to another. So, this inclination towards something strange is something that we need to be cautious about. Because if it is strange to God, it does not belong to God, why is it then that we would want to embrace this? All right? So teachings, doctrines, practices that are not belonging to God is something that we should shy away from, stay away from, stay clear of at all times. So what are we doing? We are just trying to delve into the concept of strange, because over and over persons are saying that it is strange to you does not mean that you should stay away from it. Embrace the new things. Continue to evolve. We are in a different time. But the idea behind something being strange is something strange to God, it is something that we should be weary of. So we are seeing foreign or alien, belonging to another, all right? Now, another concept is that it is outside. All right. And actually, these are different words that are used throughout inspiration to give the different connotations of strange, all right? In Acts chapter 26 and verse 11, all right, we see the word strange, we see the concept coming out of it being strange. Acts 26, verse 11.
And I punished them off in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities.
Okay, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And the idea that we get here is that these cities are outside. All right, they are not within. All right, and so again, we get the concept that something that is strange, it is outside. All right, applying that to God, this is outside of God's territory. All right, and so we are seeing foreign, we are seeing belonging to another, we are seeing outside. Now, I alluded to this in the lesson this morning with Job. And I want to spend a few minutes on this one. Because I think when we get this, it will cement our disposition towards strange teachings and practices. All right, so in Job chapter 19 and verse 3, all right, we see the word strange. All right, the root word strange being used, but we're going to actually look at it from different versions, all right, and see what are some of the things that comes out of that. All right, so read for me, brother.
These 10 times have ye approached me. Mm-hmm. Ye not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me.
That you make yourself strange to me. All right? So the King James uses the word strange. All right? If we should look at the NIV version of that same verse, the NIV says, 10 times now have you reproached me. Shamelessly, you attack me. So that word attack is the same word strange. So when we talk about adopting or associating with a strange teaching, we are actually attacking God. All right, it's an attack. All right, here the Amplified. All right, anybody has the Amplified? Okay, I have it here. These 10 times have you reproached me. You are not ashamed that you make yourself strange. Harden yourself against me and deal severely with me. So, let me just put it here since it's the same concept. So, harden yourself against. That's how the Amplified is explaining the concept of strange in respect to what Job was saying here. You have hardened yourself against me. You have dealt severely with me. All right, let me leave this deal severely because we could have included that too. All right. I didn't put the version here. Let me see. The New King James Version says, these 10 times have you reproached me. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. All right? Wronged. All right? All right. All right, let me put what I'd said earlier again. Dealt severely. Severely against. All right, let me go back to the Amplified. Deal severely with me. All right? All right? Severely. All right? E here. All right? Okay, it says with me, but I put against. I think it's the same concept, all right? So what are we seeing? This, when we expand the word strange, all right, we are seeing all of these concepts coming out, all right? If we just look at the rendition for this one, and it's attack, hardened against, wronged, dealt severely. So you are dealing severely against God, all right? That's in addition to going outside, going to something that belongs to another, being foreign or alien. All right, I want to now apply this to what we had discussed this morning. So when we did that case study with all of these different things, that these strange things that were happening, when we say that these things are strange, what we are saying is that whether it was the moral laxity, the issue of the incest, the issue of worship and all of the various areas in terms of the Lord's Supper, the head covering, how we act decently, you know, whether we make a big thing about idols and so forth. All of these things that were referred to as being strange, all right, or were strange in the sight of God. What is saying? As far as God is concerned, that's foreign to him.
Right.
As far as God is concerned, that type of practice belongs to another, not to God. It is outside of what God has prescribed. This is what this version, you know, struck me. That when we say that we are embracing something that is strange to God, we are actually attacking God. So we can't play. We are hardening ourselves against God when we start to embrace strange teachings, practices. We actually wrong God when we take on practices that are strange in the sight of God. We are dealing severely against God or with God. What we're doing is not a good thing. All right, and especially for me, the word wrong, attack, harden yourself. When we look at these things, we recognize that when we start embracing false teachings and practices, it's sin. So we cannot become comfortable with it. All right. So understanding these various shades of meaning behind something that is strange and us giving God strange worship, doing strange practices, is not something that we should be comfortable with at all. All right? Okay, so now I end with my definition. Okay, so if we are to define, all right, and I'll do this by doing two things. We'll seek to define it officially, and we will seek to give an example, all right, of how it had its genesis. Okay, so in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 9, we see an example, all right, and that example is in respect to worship, all right, just as the one we're going to look at in Leviticus. In Exodus chapter 30 and verse 9, it says,
he shall offer no strange incense thereon.
You shall offer no strange incense thereon. So, you know, this incense is like something like a perfume thing. All right. Okay, so an instruction was being given, all right, and says, but it used the word strange. So you should offer no foreign.
Yeah.
Thing, you should offer
outside.
Nothing outside. Outside of what
mind.
God has instructed, it should not be strange. To offer a strange incense is to attack the instruction that you have been given. It is to harden yourself against the instruction that God has given. It is to do wrong. You are dealing severely. But notice the direct command that is being given in this state. You shall not. Mm-hmm. All right? You shall not give strange incense. All right? All right? In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, all right, I saw a similar situation. All right, and we are quite familiar with this one. We use it from time to time from this pulpit with Nadab and Abihu.
And Nadab and Abihu,
mm-hmm.
the sons of Aaron,
yeah.
Either of them is censer,
mm-hmm.
and put fire therein and put incense thereon,
okay.
and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not.
So here again, the word, the strange. Okay, let me put this up here for completeness. Strange fire. All right. So again, we see the concept of strange. Now we can go down our list of synonyms for strange. All right. And recognize that these are not, that this is not something we should do. But beyond that now, what we are seeing is that it is a command. All right. Read the last part again.
Aaron took either of them a censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon, mm-hmm. and offered strange fire before
strange
the Lord.
Strange fire before the Lord.
Then which the last, he commanded them not.
Which he commanded them not. So it is a command. All right? It is a command that was given. All right? Don't offer strange things. All right? So in this case, the strange fire, which God commanded them not. All right. So we recognize now that when God gives an instruction, all right, we should follow it. Now this now leads us into the definition, because the word shall, as we saw in Exodus 30 and verse 9, is saying that God, that word shall, as opposed to the word will and may, all right, is actually saying that this is something that you have no option, all right, shall. That's what we saw in Exodus. In Leviticus, we are seeing that he commanded them not, all right. Okay, so there's no way to get around the instruction that is given, all right. Okay, what I want you to also note from these two examples that we have looked at. So we have seen the definition. God did not command it. All right, the Lord, in the case of Leviticus 10 and verse 1, what we see is that God did not command them to do so. All right, and but they went ahead and did so. All right, but when we tie the Exodus and the Leviticus, what we see is that while they got one thing right, or some things right, we have to pay close attention to everything. All right? And it's that point I didn't want to just let slip by, all right? Because if we are to look when it says, you shall offer no strange incense thereon, we could not say this of Nadab and Abihu. In respect to the incense, they did well. It wasn't strange incense. But their command, their instruction was that they should use a particular fire. and they missed there. All right? We need to be careful that we don't get lopsided in things that we hold on to in the church or in our lives. That, you know, and let's make an earlier application. Because we see it in the denominations where they will say, you know, believe. All right, they get that right. You know, they say repent. They'll even say confess Christ. But then they will hold back on baptism. But you have to do the complete thing. So you can't just hold on to part and say, I have done the commandment of God. You getting the picture? So we need to make sure that we are practicing the entire thing, because Nadab and Abihu, and we can talk about, you know, them being genuine and all of that. But when you miss up on even one part, we put ourselves in danger. So we have to be always alert, each of us, in our individual space, as a congregation, you know, that we are following the instruction of God, that we are not giving him strange things. Can I make another application? And I'm probably speaking now to the wrong crowd. So, when God says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and then we make it a practice that, oh, the only worship that I'm going to attend is Sunday morning, when the local congregation that you are a part of has laid out, you know, we meet at these times, and as best as possible, you ought to be there. When we now pick one, you know, boy, Sunday morning times are, you know, important time and cook meal and whatever. So the only time I'm going to come out is Sunday night, you know, and that is your practice. That's strange. All right? And even though you have done one part and you miss out on another, we are putting ourselves in danger. All right? That's foreign. That concept belongs to another, not God. That's outside. That's the concept of strange. We are literally attacking the instruction of God. We are hardening ourselves, and we don't want to harden ourselves, you know. I'd sort of restrain myself and expand on that, you know, because we don't want God to start sending us strong delusion. But when we harden ourselves, that's exactly what the outcome may be. Then all of a sudden, you know, us worshiping or coming to Bible study, Sunday school, whatever, don't even mean anything, because, you know, God help us to see, because he sees our inclination. We are wronging God. All right, we are dealing severely against or with God. So, you know, so this is an expansion of the concept of strange. All right, I try to go into a little detail and nitty-gritty with it. It might seem a little groundy, you know, in terms of spelling it out so much. But it's all with the aim of helping us to recognize that we should not see strange in the sight of God as something that is okay, but it's something that we need to be fearful of. For me, we are attacking, we are hardening, we are wronging God when we do strange things and practice it. All right, so that's a message, a lesson for you. I hope it will be helpful to all of us, and we'll have a song of invitation and encouragement.